In case we have any active burglars in our midst, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have, at some point in your life, had some sort of arrangement like this at your house? A key, and then a stone of some sort, or... And it sets right outside of everything valuable to you, right outside your house. Of course, now we just give a lot of folks just give their code to garage door code to their friends and family that they want to have access to their house. There's actually people that I still know, friends, that I could go to their house today and get into their house anytime I wanted to because I know where their key is. At least I would hope it would still be there. Keys are important in our lives, aren't they? Everybody's has keys. I have keys on my keychain that I don't even remember what they go to, but I'm afraid to get rid of them because I thought the minute I need that key, it's like, oh, that was what that key was for. And I'm sure that keys are an important part of your life as well, because keys mean something. They give us access. If we have a key, we can enter into the place that we want to go. And there's a biblical truth that sort of shows up often throughout the scriptures as you read through them. And that truth is that the way to a joy-filled and a meaningful and a purposeful and a happy life, the way to that is narrow. And that sort of seems counterintuitive. You would think that there would be 10,000 ways to find happiness in the world. But unless we find our way to that one path, we will not know joy and we will not know happiness and we will not know true fulfillment in our lives, because everything else that we want to fall in place in our life, the scriptures teach us, must fall within the confines of that path. So there's a narrow way, and Jesus says, I am the gate. That's another analogy that he uses. He says, I stand as a gate, and if you want to get into a life that's filled with that, not just passing happiness, not just with a sort of a fleeting moment of joy, but a joy that is continual in life, that shows up even in times of grief, that you have that bedrock of joy and meaning. Jesus said, there's a narrow way, I am the gate, and he also speaks of keys, a key into the kingdom of God. Now, the world offers all kinds of keys to us to try to find happiness. In fact, it's interesting that marketers, they don't try to sell us things anymore. They try to sell us experiences. You don't just drive a car. You don't just buy a car. You have an experience in the car. You know, they sell these trucks and the Jeeps, and you see them like going up mountains with an incline like that, and then they come right to the cliff's edge or and stop, and there's this beautiful vista out before them. It's nothing like me driving up I-65, going to work every morning. You're not just driving a car, they don't want you to think, that you're having an experience. So there's a lot of things that the world will offer so that you can experience life. And there are a lot of beautiful and wonderful things to enjoy in life. But the biblical message that we find over and over again is that there all of the things that will come good in our life will be filtered through the way. It will be filtered through the gate. It will be filtered through that key. And that key and that gate and that way are Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger over 2,000 years ago, came to us as God came to earth to be man, to live among us, to die for us, and then to be born again so that we might know true happiness and know true power and true fulfillment in life, what it means to be fully human, what it means to live, what it means to wake up every morning and find purpose, even in the struggle and even in the disappointments in life. And like I said, the world will try to offer alternatives, but there is that one way of Jesus Christ. And you know, the same marketers that are trying to sell us an experience are always trying to sell us something new, the most innovative, the brand new, the newest. You know, you get a new phone, and it's the latest. And 6 months later, there's like been two more upgrades. You know, to versions. They're always trying to have to get something new. But Micah, in the prophet, in our scripture this morning, says something interesting. He says, there's a promise. There's a promise that will bring happiness. There's a promise that will bring fulfillment and meaning in our lives. And he says, instead of looking to the most innovative and the newest gadgetry and you know, the bling and the experience that comes with that sort of marketing mindset, he says something interesting. He says, let's go back to the origins. Go back to the Ancient of Times, he says. And there you will find an eternal promise, something that was there from the very beginning, something that was there from before time began, in God's eternity. And it was this promise of light, this promise of light that encapsulates and includes joy and peace and power and fulfillment. That promise, Micah says, let's go back to that. That's where we will find it, but we have to wait upon it. We have to wait for it to come into our lives, and we have to anticipate it. And the one who will come holds the key in his hand. But it's not a clenched hand, and it's not hidden under a rock. It's stretched out to us. In fact, it was stretched out on the cross. It's an open hand, and there's the key. And he says, just take the key. That's where happiness is. That's where fulfillment is. And that key is a step of faith. I've tried everything else to bring me happiness in life. I've tried everything else to bring joy. I've tried everything else to fulfill me. And everything seems empty. It seems like I have everything, but I have nothing. When you get to that point, Jesus has his hand stretched out with a wonderful key to the kingdom of God in his hand. And he says, here's a gift. Here's this gift. Take it. It's yours. And that taking of that gift comes by faith. It means trusting in a God who says, if you've tried everything else and nothing's brought you fulfillment, if you still are empty of heart and empty of soul, here's the key. And the key goes all the way back to the origins. It goes all the way back to the most ancient of times. It goes back to eternity. And it's the promise. It's the promise of light. It's the promise of the spark of the divine God that's available to you. And in that divine light, through Christ, that can enter into your life is power. And not power for power's sake, but power to live into a life that God wants you to live into. And Micah speaks of that promise in his prophecy. There's three things I just want to briefly pull out of Micah's prophecy as he speaks to us. First of all, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that in the Advent season that we've been in these last 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and this is the last Sunday of Advent, Advent actually means coming. It's a coming, and there's three comings in the Scripture. There's the coming of Christ in as the Christ child in the manger on that first nativity. Then there's the coming of Christ when all things will be consummated at the end of time and Christ returns in his glory. But there's a third coming of Christ that we spoke of, and it's the continual coming of Christ into his people. The continual advent, the continual arrival of Jesus Christ into his people. And so even now, Christ desires to come into our lives and to be that key to our happiness. That coming of Christ into our lives on that first Christmas, the one that comes in glory and the one that continually comes now, gives us some things to carry forward and to sustain us in life. And Micah points those things out to us. And the first one that we see is this notion of a Christ who is accessible to us. And that's this image of the key. Micah reminds us that we have to live lives of openness to God. We have to be open to him, to his continual coming. He uses words like behold, which means watch, pay attention. Something's happening. Something's astir. And these are instructions that Christ gives us as well. He says, for example, he who has ears to hear, well, let him hear then, being attentive to the Spirit. Micah says, though you're among a small clan, from you will come a ruler. You know, Judah was one of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, but it became one of the most significant. So no matter where we come from in life, no matter what rung on that social economic ladder that we come from in life, Christ is accessible to all of us. And he brings all of us peace and power. And then something else Micah refers to, and Jesus will refer to himself as this. He calls Jesus a shepherd, or the coming one a shepherd, the one who that is going to come into the world a shepherd, that he will take care of his flock. But he paints this picture of Jesus not as a weak, passive shepherd who sort of sits on the hillside half awake and sort of keeping one eye on the sheep and sort of daydreaming. He speaks of Christ coming into the world, and we spoke of this last week, as a warrior, as a powerful presence in our lives. And that if we will take that key and we will accept this Christ into our lives, that a powerful warrior comes into us, that he who brings strength and who brings power to overcome and to sustain and to persevere and to give us honor and dignity in our life. Being a Christian does not mean to be run over and to be a mat, a doormat. It means to be a person of power in the world, sharing the power of Christ. And so when Christ comes into your life, Micah says, when Christ comes into the world, he will be a shepherd, he will take care of his flock, but he will be a mighty warrior as well. And this same warrior walks alongside you and in you and brings you power, if you will have him walk with you. This humble Christ child we have these images of this tiny baby born in this stable because all the people who had good credit were staying in the hotel and it was all full, and so they said, well, you just go out in the stable. And then there's the stinky animals, and then the shepherds come. It's just this picture of humility and lack of power. But yet, from that humility, from that gentleness, from that waiting, the power of God enters into that. And that's a message all throughout the Scriptures, is that as we walk through the world humbly and with gentleness and with expecting God to work great things in our life, as we walk patiently and holy and seek to live godly and righteous lives, Christ will enter into that. That's how Christ enters into our lives, through that humbleness, through that meekness in accepting him and receiving him. So Christ comes to us, he's accessible to us. He comes as a shepherd, but who's also a mighty warrior. And then finally, Micah makes this picture of Christ as our fortress. Christ is our fortress. Because he's the good shepherd, is a mighty warrior, Christ surrounds us with security and safety. Now, you can chase other ways in life. You can take other paths that are not the way of Christ. But those paths, sure enough, lead to destruction in your life. That's where they go. They originally start at some place that looks kind of exciting, and then they lead to destruction. They lead to pain. They lead to suffering. But Micah says the coming Christ will build a fortress around you. That as you seek his holiness, and as you seek his goodness, and you seek to live in his way, and to live righteously, and to live honorably before people, and to lead respectful lives, and to be industrious, and to be faithful and loyal, and all those things that make us good people, as you live that kind of life, Christ begins to build a fortress around you. Because people will attack you in life, at the workplace, at school, anywhere you go, there are people who will attack you. But if you have Christ in your life, and you've built your life around Christ, and you've built a life that is built around that sense of godly honor and righteousness and strength and gentleness toward others, and love and mercy and grace, a wall begins to build up around you that the world can't tear down. They can attack you, they can throw arrows at you, but you have a mighty fortress around you. That's why Martin Luther would write the song, "A mighty fortress is our God," because he builds up around us as we seek Christ. In Psalm 46, the psalmist says, "God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." You have a fortress around you. And it's not like the little five-year-old that closes his eyes and says, "I have a force field. You can't get me." It's a real spiritual fortress that grows up around us because we practice the discipline of the Christian faith of Christ. And that's leading honest lives, leading generous lives, leading lives of forgiveness, lives that don't hold grudges, leading lives that are full of honor, that are noble, where we spend our time thinking on good things and planning for good things for our lives and for the lives of people around us, caring about our community. And that builds a wall up around us. You say, "I don't know where to begin." And Jesus says, "Well, I've got a key for you." It's the same key that he handed to Peter. He said, "Peter, this is the key. This is the key to the kingdom. And if you have this key, you can bind and loose anything." In other words, nothing's impossible with the power of God in our life. And so Micah, this prophet, is preaching to a people who are down on their luck. The Assyrians are coming in around them and they're feeling like that they're about to be destroyed. And Micah says, no, hang on. There is one who is going to come and he will bring power. And he will build a fortress around you. And he's going to be available even to the people of Judah, even the small tribe, even the tribe that's messed up so many times over the centuries. He's going to come to you and he's going to be a mighty warrior. And that same promise that the Lord gives through Micah is the same promise that the Lord gives throughout the centuries, through all people, to all peoples, and to us. But after we've tried everything else, after we've tried everything else and we've accrued everything else and our garages are full and our basements are full and nothing seems to bring joy, there's Christ all along, the one who came on Christmas Day, on that first Christmas, grew into a man, died for us on a cross, rose from the grave. He reaches out with a key and says, "Here it is." He says, take this key, take this way, and walk it, and it will open doors. Paul says, it will make you a new person. He says, the old person will die, the one who was always had this holy discontent, who was just never quite content with life, could never find meaning and purpose. Paul says, I died to that old self and I was born anew, and now I have joy. He says, I have a joy unspeakable. I have a peace that passes understanding. And that all came through Christ. And that same Christ, as this Christmas approaches, is available to each of us. All we have to do is say, "Christ, give me that key. Thank you. Thank you for the gift. I take it." And the door is open. Micah tells us that the king is coming. He's come in a manger. He's coming again in his glory and power. And through the Holy Spirit, he's coming now even into your life. And all we have to do is reach out to his unclenched hand and pick up the key. Let's pray together. Father, we have many keys on our keychains to many different things and Just as in life, we try to find many doors to open that will bring us salvation and bring us happiness and joy and some sense of meaning in this short life. And we thank you for your word that promises us that there is one key that opens the one door to true joy and true peace in this often dark and stormy world. And it comes through the one who was born to us at that first nativity in the city of Bethlehem, your son Jesus. And this morning we give thanks for the Christ child, the mighty counselor. We give you thanks for the salvation that we have through Christ the King. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.